I was in college at the time, and it was my second week of school in my second class of the week. And he walked in, he's like, George Lucas just sold Star Wars to Disney. And everyone was like, ah. And when it came to The Last Jedi, it was like, oh, if you don't like it, you're a Nazi. And I'm like, how? How does, like, that doesn't make any sense. Because it's so new, people are typically afraid of change, and people are afraid of it right now. But I'm like, as long as it doesn't become Skynet, I'm not going to just be terrified of it. It's just a new tool. Like, if I'm going to go get my teeth done, I don't want to go to a robot. I want to go to a person. If I'm getting my hair cut, I don't want to go to a robot. If I want something done, I'm not going to a robot. I think right now it's just like a lolcow. Like, people just watch it to see how bad it is. I think the only thing they had going for them was Baby Yoda. And that's it. That's just because he's cute, but there's no real substance there. It's just something that's cute. It's like seeing a pug in real life. It's like, oh, look, it's a cute dog. And it looks kind of dumb, but it's cute. I didn't watch the Rise of Skywalker theaters. Somebody posted on Twitter and I watched it there and I was like, this is hell. When I was fighting with Lizzo and I was on my phone and I'm like, I'm not letting this fat troll like take my Twitter. And so I'm just fighting with people. Everyone's like, Anna, get off your phone. I'm like, you don't understand, I'm at war. I remember I had somebody on my channel and then somebody called me up. They're like, how could you have that person on your channel? They did a video about this person a year ago and then they deleted it. Why did you have this person on your channel? Like, how the hell am I supposed to know? This is, at that point, I was like, this is the stupidest thing I have ever heard. I'm at that point now where I'm like, I don't care. I judge everyone on how they treat me.
Hello and welcome to Culturescape, the show that interviews the geek creators and influencers who built nerd culture. I'm your host, and today we are talking Star Wars. Just today, George Lucas shocked the Star Wars fandom when he came out in support of Bob Iger, aka The Mouse. To discuss this news and the pitiful state of Star Wars, with new shows like The Acolyte on the horizon, we have today Anna, aka That Star Wars Girl, famed Star Wars YouTuber, freelance artist, and influencer, to talk about the wars and the stars, plus what it's like working in the creative space, the oncoming effects of AI, and so much more. Welcome to the show, Anna.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. I know you've had a very busy last few months. You got married, the honeymoon, everything changing the YouTube space.
Yeah, I guess so. I've been so distracted by real life. YouTube's kind of taken a back seat, but I'm getting back into it today, actually.
Nice. Oh, well, I'm happy to be one of the first people to do that then.
Yeah. We get to talk about breaking news. So I feel like I'm one of the, I don't know if you got this vibe, but I don't think it's George Lucas. I 100% think it's his wife doing damage control, because George has given his opinion on all of it time and time again. And usually it's the backtracking is when his wife gets involved, like when he called Disney the white slavers, and then she's the one that apologized and then like made a statement about it. So when I saw that, I was like, it's just his wife doing damage control.
It's not a bad theory. It is very confusing because you're right. It's said people that know him, and then he's even said in a few times, you know, on the record, like you said, he says Disney was like white slavers. I mean, it seems like he seems to regret it, but maybe his financial guys don't, and maybe that's where this is coming from. I was reading this article, CNBC. I'll just read the short quote he gave that shocked so many people. Creating magic is not for amateurs. When I sold Lucasfilm just over a decade ago, I was delighted to become a Disney shareholder because of my longtime admiration for its iconic brand and Bob Iger's leadership. When Bob recently returned to the company during a difficult time, I was relieved. No one knows Disney better. I remain a significant shareholder because I have full faith and confidence in the power of Disney and Bob's track record of driving long-term value. I have voted all of my shares for Disney's 12 directors and urge other shareholders to do the same. Yet none of that sounds like George in the least.
No, it sounds very strategic. So his wife, I can't remember her exact title, but she was the head of DreamWorks. And as you know, DreamWorks and Disney have always kind of competed. And I can't think of an interview where George ever, you know, proclaimed his love of being a shareholder for anything. So it just, that all that language, it sounds like Melody, not George.
It does. And that he's not the one, like there's no video of this. There's no footage. Yeah. It's just a written PR statement. It feels like maybe someone's like, hey, you okay with this, George? And he's like halfway looks at it, he's like, yeah, whatever.
I don't think he cares anymore. He's like, I'm done. I'm out. Did you watch that interview that kind of went a little viral a couple years ago where it was Melody? She was doing a class for kids at about 12 and 13 talking about, business ethics and like how to be successful in business. And George comes in and he starts talking about Star Wars. And he's like, yeah, they're doing something that's not me. He's like, they're going off that. But the verse 6 are very much mine and my philosophy, and then starts talking about that. And then they had to like take the stream down and apologize. So
yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. And it's sad because every time he would speak out and then he was preoccupied by his feelings, like there would always someone would be following up trying to scrub it clean.
Uh-huh.
Even Bob Iger in his own book admits that he screwed over George.
Yeah, that book, I read it and I'm like, this shouldn't be like, you know, what is it, a ride of a lifetime? I'm like, this is how to be a supervillain book. Like, it's like reading Lex Luthor's memoirs.
It is awful because he basically admitted that, like, there were all these soft agreements with George when he gave over the franchise. Oh, yeah, and we'll take your story treatments for episode 7,
it just
8,
shows
9.
How manipulative he is. Like everything in that book, I'm like, this guy is evil. This is like an evil mastermind just showing how he's took over the film industry, not just with George, but with Marvel, with Pixar. And then after everything that happened after, like with the Me Too and like getting rid of John Lasseter and all that, like the fact that he used John Lasseter to manipulate George Lucas to sell Star Wars over to Disney, and then he's like, you don't have any heirs, George, no one's going to take over your company, sell it to me. I was like, this man's evil.
It seems like his skill set as a CEO is he doesn't seem to have like incredible business acumen. He seems to have a real talent with people and kind of leveraging them and working that. And I think that was, you know, the problem with the other Bob Chapek, which he kind of stabbed in the back. It's like Chapek, who was a business guy, was about the, you know, crunching numbers. Iger, unfortunately, the way that business works at that level, and in fact, in many things, it's a people person environment, and it just, he had no chance. Just Iger totally just railroaded him.
I think he was just put in to take the fall. I think Iger knew a lot of things were going to go downhill, and he couldn't take it, because it's been speculated that he wants to run for president one day, and he can't have that on his record. So he put the guy in to like take the fall for him, and he comes back and saves everything, even though he's the one that set everything up to fail, right? Because he's the one that implemented all of those things. I think the only thing that Bob Chapek really did was messing with Florida and all of that. So now they lost their like independence for Disney World.
It's interesting because you have been a Star Wars fan forever, like myself. And I can remember when the sale of Star Wars to Disney, the media narrative was like, this is so wonderful. Everyone is celebrating. Like it somehow got rescued from its creator. And now Star Wars is saved. It's so funny, like, just thinking back to then and looking at what it is now. It just seems so innocent and naive.
Yeah, my environment was the exact opposite. I was in college at the time, and it was my second week of school in my second class of the week. And ironically, my teacher's name was George. It was like an intro to Photoshop class. And he walked in, he's like, George Lucas just sold Star Wars to Disney. And everyone was like, am I allowed to cuss?
You can. If it's a problem, Chris will grab it.
Okay. Well, it's just like, everyone knew, because then it's like you're so limited on what you can do. Everything's going to get Disneyfied, and it's not going to be George. It's not going to be Star Wars anymore, and it hasn't been. So everyone in my environment, at least, like knew. They're like, oh no, it's not the same anymore.
It is weird because people do get this idea like the creator becomes the problem, not understanding like the creator and the creation, they are tied inseparably. You can get something that's very similar. It's like the talk about what's going to happen to Akira Toriyama's projects or what happened with Muda and Berserk. It's like you can sometimes get something that's really close. I think, like, for example, Brandon Sanderson's work on the the later Dune novels. You can get pretty close, but it's never quite the same. And that's even in the best case where, like, they're meticulously grabbing the notes and they're looking through. Famously, they said, after Walt Disney died, they said that the 70s was basically people trying to run the business by Walt's trash bin. Basically, we're just taking all the things he kind of threw away. Oh, that's kind of like Walt Disney will use that. And then we're going from, well, George Lucas. I mean, he only created Indiana Jones, revolutionized the film industry and sound.
Special effects. I don't know. Maybe that's kind of important.
Yeah, but then everyone was so happy when he was gone, which is so weird when you think about it now. But there was that time where, like, George Lucas is the problem here.
Yeah, I guess I never really experienced. I remember people that would, like, complain about the prequels a little bit, but at the same time, when I feel like I heard more people complaining about Disney than Star Wars. Maybe they knew not to talk badly about Star Wars in front of me, though, so I think that might have been the reason why I didn't hear very much.
So tell us a little bit about your history with Star Wars and being a geek and a nerd. How did you get into like it? Do you have a brother, a dad? Was it your aunt? I had an aunt that was crazy into the books.
It was my aunt. Well, so I watched at a very young age. So I was a very opinionated toddler. And so my parents, for whatever reason, decided to have more babies. And they couldn't take me to the hospital with them. So I think I was like 2 and a half. And because my sister was born in June and my birthday's in October. So it was around that time of her birthday. And I was at my aunt's house and all of her kids are older. So like my cousin closest in age to me was in high school. So my aunt didn't really have much like kid movies. So I think she only had like Ariel. And so I was one of those kids that I'm like, we're only watching cartoons and we're watching it over and over again. And my aunt was like, Anne, I can't watch this movie anymore. And she started naming off movies. She's like, you want to watch this one? I was like, no. She's like, do you want to watch this one? No. She's like, you want to watch Star Wars? And I was like, no. She's like, there's a princess in it. And I was like, turn it on right now. Because little girl obsessed with princesses. And she shut me in like a room. She was a first grade teacher. I don't know why she had this at her house, but she had you remember how the teachers had like the TVs on the carts?
Yes.
She had one at her house for some reason. I don't know why. And she just wheeled that in my uncle's office. She turned on Star Wars. She sat me down. She turned off the light, shut the door, and left. And I just remember sitting there, like, not moving. And I was like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And then when the movie was over, and I remember, like, just sitting there not moving. I was afraid to breathe. So I'm like, is this real? This is so cool. And then she comes in, and she's like, did you like it? I was like, that was the coolest thing ever. And she's like, do you want to watch the other ones? I was like, there's more? She's like, yeah. So I watched all of them in one day, and I was like, this is amazing. Then my dad picked me up and I was like, daddy, I want a lightsaber. And he's like, what? My daughter that goes from obsessing with like princesses and Barbies now all of a sudden wants a lightsaber. And ever since then I've been obsessed with Star Wars. And then other things came later. Like I remember watching Dune. Like I didn't understand it when I was, I don't know, I think my parents were watching the miniseries, and I remember like the glowing blue eyes and they're like, it's the spice. And I was like, I don't know what that means, but I'll watch it later. Same with Star Trek. I think I was maybe 8 when I really got into it, but it was, I don't know the exact age, but I was older when those things came into my life. But I was aware of them, but not so much like Stargate and all that. I was like, I think I knew. I was like, I'm not old enough to understand like any of the references or understand like these grown-up things. So those came a little bit later, but Star Wars has always been a part of my life. And so that's why I'm called that Star Wars girl. So that's,
yeah, no, where the name came from. Are now like one of the, I would say it's a top 5 people I think I see on Twitter usually talking about Star Wars. So you've done very well at it. I've been following your account for a while now.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was all by accident, like completely. So everyone that's ever known me has known I'm obsessed with Star Wars. And so when The Last Jedi came out and I hated it, and I just went on this rant on Facebook and I was like, what do you mean? And I was responding to like hundreds of emails because everyone I've ever known is like messaging me like, what do you mean you don't like this Star Wars movie? And I was like, heck, I'll just make a video and send it to all these people. And it was too long to post on Facebook, so it was like 45 minutes, and I posted it on YouTube and sent everyone the link. I don't think any of them watched it, but everyone else in the world apparently did, because that video went viral. And then everyone's like, you should make more. And I was like, okay. And I've been doing it ever since.
That is the very rare case. And it is very rare when that actually happens that way. But that's how it's always portrayed, like in TV and movies. Like they just did one video and then everyone's talking about it. But that actually did happen to you, which is interesting.
It did. So whenever people ask me, like, how do I get started? I'm like, I'm the worst person to ask because it was just an accident.
Still, you know, a great, and this, people don't know this unless they're into podcasting or YouTube. It's like you can get the successful, popular moments, the viral moments, but it does take a certain amount of patience and effort to then build on that, you know, to not just, because there are plenty of people who get like a million hit video and never again. And it's like back down to the hundreds or the low thousands.
I think you have to have something to say, because my thing with Star Wars, it's like, I could sit here and talk about Star Wars for 10 hours and not run out of things to talk about, you know, with it. And so, like, some people, I think, you know, they have that one accidental viral moment, but that's not their passion. They just got lucky. But, like, I see a lot of that, like, with people with cooking videos. Like, they just made, like, one random and that went viral, but they have no passion for it. So then they don't enjoy doing it, and you can tell. Whereas, like, with me, it's hard talking about how terrible Star Wars is now, but I'm coming from a place like, this is something I love. Let me tell you why all of this that they're doing is wrong. And let me explain to you how it could have been better. So I guess maybe that's what
I'm doing. It is odd because you now have been around during all these culture wars, and where there were divisions, there really wasn't there. I can remember the old division used to be, and we kind of touched upon this. It's like, do you like the prequels? Do you hate them? Do you think George Lucas is some kind of amazing creator, or is he problematic? And then it switched to, do you like Last Jedi or not? And it somehow I got tied up into everything else. And then it wasn't just like, if you hate Last Jedi, it wasn't like, oh, you just have a different opinion. It was, no, you're a terrible person. How could you not love this movie? This is indicative of your whole political worldview.
That was the weirdest thing to me, because I'm a really picky eater, right? Like, I don't even like the taste of water. I think water is disgusting. And I'm so used to being in the minority on that. But it's like, when it came to The Last Jedi, it was like, oh, if you don't like it, you're a Nazi. And I'm like, how does, like, that doesn't make any sense. It's like telling me 2 + 2 = 5, not 4. And I'm just like, we can disagree. Like, I'm pretty sure you like water. I don't like water. Water makes me want to throw up when I drink it. Like, that's how gross I think the taste of water is. And people are like, it doesn't have a taste. I'm like, yeah, it does. But that doesn't mean, just because we disagree, that doesn't mean the other person is a Nazi. And then that was just what was all over Twitter. Because did you like The Last Jedi or no?
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever get into fights with people that they immediately start saying, like, you're an incel, you're a Nazi, you're a man baby? It's like, what? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, no, definitely on Twitter. And it was, what was weird though was when I was seeing it on Facebook, because it's like people you actually know. And it was like, what is going on? What happened? Because I don't remember it being that way previous to that. And that was a bit of a shock to me.
Well, I learned later, like, obviously being in the online space, it had a lot to do with politics. And I am so anti-politics. I think that they are so boring. And my reasoning for that was, like, when I was little, I heard my parents, like, oh, gas prices, oh, taxes, interest rates. Like, it's the same problems, just different names attached to it. But it, all throughout my life, it's always been the same. And I'm like, that just said to me, I'm like, there's nothing. Like, it's always going to be this way. There's always going to be problems. Nothing will ever be perfect. And you know what? And there's, me worrying about it isn't going to do anything except stress me out. So I'm just not going to. And I know a lot of people don't like that, but I'm like, everyone has their own problems. We all human, we all have issues. We all got things we're dealing with in life. Why would I want to ruin my day by focusing on that when I could focus on something that's actually going to be positive and make my life richer and everyone else's around me? So I'm like, I'll focus on other things. And I'm like, what the problems that are always going to exist that are never going away. I'm like, there's nothing I can do about it. It's like somebody being mad that the sky is blue. There's nothing you can do about it. That's just the reality of life. You don't have to get mad at somebody else because they disagree with you about something. That's, they're entitled to that. If, you know, they're not your wife, your husband, your mother, your father, just, you know, just, it's not the end of the world, basically. And so when I found out this was all about politics, when, oh, if you don't like this movie, then you're on this side. I always get that. And I'm like, I always get put in like the right. And I'm like, if you really think that about me, you know nothing about me, because I don't care about politics. It's so frustrating. I'm like, I can talk to you about Star Wars politics, about Star Trek politics all day, every day. But when it comes to real life stuff, I'm just like, it's pointless. And I feel like people that get too obsessed with it, this might sound mean, but I'm like, you don't have a hobby. You don't have like anything else going on in your life if that's what you have to fixate on.
I agree. I think outrage feels, it feels good, but it isn't very productive most of the time. I think you're someone, you know, you've always, I admire this about you. You're always working on different kinds of projects. You've done calendars. You've done lots of different art things. You're into cosplaying. You're engaging all these different things. It's not just YouTube and you're complaining about Disney Star Wars for the 1,000th time. You're mixing it up with all kinds of stuff. Now, I think that's wonderful.
I'm pretty sure I have complained about it for a million times, but...
Yeah, no, and I'm guilty too.
They keep doing stupid stuff.
No, and I'm guilty too. I guess the line with all that is like honesty, sincerity. Because like, you know, you're right. When this stuff happened with The Last Jedi and there was so many people being so reflexive, and that was ridiculous. I think sometimes now people, it feels like maybe they're going out there too much and they don't really mean it, but they feel like that's how they have to get an angle. I know I see it in like the comic space all the time. I don't want to get too much into that, but it's, I don't know. It feels like everything is changing.
When it comes to comics, I would say, like, as an artist myself, we're all fucking weird. And I don't know. I feel like it's that if you've ever worked with an artist, which I have, and I am one, it's like we're crazy, we're sporadic, and we got a lot of fifis. And so when you got people that are like the creative mindset, like, yeah, you know, we might overreact or get too emotionally invested into something and like lash out in a certain way. And I've seen, like, I've definitely, when I was younger, like I didn't know how to handle my feelings correctly or how to, you know, respond to certain things. And I think all of us are humans and we've all dealt with that. But when I fight with people in the comic book space, like, oh my gosh, who was it? Gail Simone and I got into it. What, Heather Antos blocked me just because I left one little comment. But yeah, people, creative people are crazy, and that could go both positive and negative, but I don't know, when it comes to, if somebody's passionate about something, they got a right to say something. It doesn't mean it's smart, you know, but they got a right to say it.
That's fair. I think that's a good place to be at. It's tough, because I feel like, you know, I'm seeing more in the news world, and that whole industry is just falling apart. And now we are seeing AI on the horizon, and it feels like even what we're just seeing with OpenAI and Sora, and now YouTube, they're talking about how they want to shift AI into being a big thing on YouTube. And so people are like, where's our next launch? What is going to happen here? Everything feels so, I don't know, it feels like we're on such shifting sand. Do you have feelings on that? Do you have concerns? Because you will have a wider gamut. So if you lost just part of your platform, you would probably be okay. Whereas some other people, like, they may only just have Star Wars commentary YouTube. Do you have like a feeling or concerns for where this is going?
With AI, it depends on what area of AI. I haven't thought about it too much. The only area that I've really been paying attention to is the art side of it. And I'm not against it, but I'm not 100% for it. And here's why. I think that anything that helps someone is, as long as they're not hurting someone, like physically hurting someone, I think it's a good thing. And I use this example. Okay, let's say you're a medical doctor, right? And you're completely analytical, but let's say you're the best heart surgeon in the world, and you're trying to explain to other people that are trying to be heart surgeons how to perform this really, really intense, complicated surgery on how to perform like a heart transplant. Well, what if you take someone that's not creative at all, can't even draw a stick figure, and they just punch in the information into an AI program that can, you know, create visuals on how, like a step-by-step tutorial on how to perform this complicated surgery. I think that that's great. And a lot of people don't, like, I got into a little bit of a debate about this with, I think, Losty, It was on a Flashcast episode. But so there actually is a lot of work. Like, I've done work in medical art. It's like the most easy job you can get. College students will do a lot of this because it's easy money. It's fast. And, like, you know, the basic drawings that you'll see either in like a pamphlet that you'll be at like a doctor's office, or even, you know, the one of those complicated diagrams of like the human anatomy or hearts. Or, and all doctors have these in every single doctor's office, waiting rooms. There's medical, you know, journals that have to have art in them. And so, yes, medical art is art. And so when you make those tutorials on how to perform surgeries, an artist has to make that. And if you can take someone that's actually performed these surgeries and knows about, you know, the human body in a way that, you know, not somebody that's, you know, just sitting there drawing or animating, you know, somebody that's actually gone in, like cut a human open, taken out a body part and, you know, transplanted another one in, you take someone with that experience and that knowledge that can't draw, that can't animate, that can't, you know, render anything to that capacity, and they can just use this program and create something that's going to help everyone on the planet with their knowledge. I think that's fantastic. I understand why people are afraid of it. And I remember when Photoshop came around, and I remember the whole controversy about traditional art versus digital art. And if you're a digital artist, you're not a real artist because you can undo but it's like that didn't make traditional art less valuable. If anything, it made it more valuable. And I think the same thing's going to happen with actual artists, you know, people that, you know, now either traditional or digital, people are going to want, well, I don't want the AI art. Like, maybe, yeah, they want it in the beginning because maybe they can't afford to hire a real person. And working with artists is a pain in the ass. I know I am one. And, you know, go from, I don't want just the AI art. I want to talk to a human that's going to understand me. And everyone, I think, on the planet Earth that has a phone has experienced calling customer service and talking to an automated system versus talking to a real human.
Yeah.
And I think because it's so new, people are typically afraid of change, and people are afraid of it right now. But I'm like, as long as it doesn't become Skynet, I'm not going to just be terrified of it. It's just a new tool. And don't be afraid. Don't go burn people at the stake because you think that they're a witch, because it's just something that you don't understand yet, because it's something new. So that's kind of where I stand on it. And I've only really thought about the art side of it. It's because that's where I'm interested in. I haven't thought about that, what that means for the military or for, I don't know, the rest of the planet on the rest of the industries. But that's my general view of it so far. Does that make sense?
No, that makes sense. And you're someone with a vested interest in what's going to happen. You are bringing a lot more thought to it than I think most people are. It does seem like, well, Lofty does like to troll just a little bit. We've had Lofty on the show.
Just a little.
But it seems like there's two different conversations there. It's like the artistic value one. That's something like Shadversity seems to be always getting in fights about. And you make a great point. I think there's another one, which is AI and like careers, AI and getting jobs. And we're seeing this a lot in like news right now. But the sad thing is, the reality is, as AI gets better, there are going to be fewer and fewer professions that AI won't be able to, like, you know, kind of wedge its way
well,
in.
Well, see, this is where I say, then you need to step up your game. Because right now, AI is becoming so, you know, everyone's kind of jumping in. Like, a lot of YouTubers are using AI to create their thumbnails. People are using AI to, you know, make Joe Rogan podcasts. And I'm just like, you know what? If you were doing more valuable work, maybe people wouldn't need AI. You think about that. And a lot of people don't want to hear that because we're all humans. A lot of people are run by emotions. And this is where, you know, I just hear Spock in my ear being like, oh, so illogical. And I'm so, like I said, like when you call customer service and you speak with a computer versus a human, you want to speak to the human, right? So there's always going to be value in having that human element to, I don't know, being a dentist, right? Being a hairdresser. Like, if I'm going to go get my teeth done, I don't want to go to a robot. I want to go to a person. If I'm getting my hair cut, I don't want to go to a robot. I want to go to a person. If I want something done, I'm not going to a robot. And I feel like a lot of people just immediately like, no, AI is bad. So I've spent pretty much my entire life learning how to draw and paint. I opened up Adobe came up with this. I can't think of it right now, what the name of it is, but Adobe has their own version of AI, and that I think is the one where they don't use anything that's copywritten. So it's supposed to be, you know, the best one as far as, you know, it's not ripping anyone off. And so I tried using that, and I was like, make a blue person that's a princess, but she's bald and has butterfly wings. It would not do it. I could not get that damn thing to make what I wanted. And I'm like, blue, bald, princess, butterfly wings. Why is this so difficult? And it could not create it. And I just spent all night trying to make this thing do what I wanted. And I'm like, in this time, I could have done 10 drawings of this blue butterfly bald princess. And it couldn't get it. It couldn't even get it close. And I was like, why is the blue skin such a problem? Why is the butterfly wing such a problem? It was such a pain in the ass. And I'm like, I could have already done this by now. So it's not as high tech as I think people think. And I think a lot of people that are so against AI, they won't even try it to even come up with a list of actual complaints. And I've watched all of Shad's videos on it. I watched that 4-hour live stream debate he did with Finna on, what is his name? Oh my God, I feel so, Adam Friended. On his channel, they did like a little debate, and Finna's argument was really about like the human experience of learning how to do these things, and that's valuable. Like, I 100% agree that it's valuable, and that's why, like I said, a medical doctor that spent their entire life learning these skills and using AI to share that with other people. Yes, there's the human element to it, and I think they just see it as Skynet, not as like this is just a tool. Like before, people didn't have a hammer, they were banging rocks, and then somebody made a hammer. The wheel didn't exist for a while, right? Then the wheel existed. Light bulbs didn't exist, and now we have light bulbs. I just see it, in my opinion, so far from what I've seen of it, it's literally just a tool that we can use to improve things. And if people want to argue about jobs, well, guess what? The AI is going to do something minute, and there's going to be another job that's created. People didn't like cars because the horses, right? We're not going to have horse and buggies anymore. Well, guess what? You're going to just have a different type of industry. So I don't know. I think people are just afraid of change. And it's like, yes, you're afraid of this thing ending, but something better is coming along. Like there's another bus every 15 minutes. This one thing, yes, it's not finite, right? Everything is in motion. Everything is changing. So you might be afraid, you know, but there's going to be something more. You're just afraid because you don't know what it is yet. And I think that that's just the moral of the story when it comes to AI art. I'm sorry, I talk a lot.
No, you're so fine. You're fine. You're the guest. This is why people tune in. They want to hear the guest and what they have to say. I hopefully you're right. I hope it isn't, you know, 30 years from now in our future Mad Max, you know, when Skynet takes over and they unearth this interview and, oh, that's sweet. Sweet, naive Star Wars girl. She thought it was all going to be okay, and then the world ended. I hope so. I honestly don't. I hear, see both sides of it, and it's hard to pick them apart sometimes. Because you're right. It's like so much of this is up in the air, and we just don't know. I hope it's positive. Like, the tech is amazing. Like, putting aside what this might mean, like, the things that we're able to do is incredible. It's only going to get more incredible, and that's great. Speaking of change, so Star Wars has seen a lot of change to the point where I don't think I've ever seen Star Wars generate less interest in people. Like, we now have whole new seasons of shows, like Bad Batch, I guess it's on its third season. No one cares. They're coming out with a new Acolyte show this summer. Some people on Twitter seem to care, but outside of that, I'm not really hearing any normies. Anyone's like, oh, hey, there's a new Star Wars show on the horizon. Just nothing. People do not care. Like, is Star Wars done for? Can it be saved?
I think right now it's just like a lolcow. Like, people just watch it to see how bad it is. I think the only thing they had going for them was Baby Yoda. And that's it. That's just because he's cute, but there's no real substance there. It's just something that's cute. It's like seeing a pug in real life. It's like, oh, look, it's a cute dog. And it looks kind of dumb, but it's cute, right? But...
I think I do. I have a half chewed up Baby Yoda behind me that my niece
right
gave
above
me.
You.
Yeah, my dog got a hold of it. The Baby Yoda survived, but he only has side one eye now.
No, poor baby.
Yeah, it is weird. Like, I just the outrage used to get my interest, like everything that went on with like Obi-Wan and Reva? I want to say Reva, that's not right. It's Reva. Thank you. And even to this point, I just don't care. It's just like, I know you're trying to get my goat, Disney. I get it. I'm just tired of all this. I'm just not going to take it. I might be wrong, but I think most people who did used to care about this stuff, I think that's kind of where they are. And if I look at like...
I think now they've like, even the normies don't like it. Even the normies know that Star Wars is bad. Like my mom, she couldn't care less about Star Wars, and even she's like, oh, this stuff is terrible. Like she went and watched the Rise of Skywalker. I didn't watch the Rise of Skywalker theaters. Somebody posted on Twitter and I watched it there and I was like, this is hell. Absolutely. Like this is the embodiment of everything I hate. And like, I didn't think it could get worse than The Last Jedi. And at least with The Rise of Skywalker, it wasn't trying to like be like, F you. It was just bad, right? It was just a terrible, terrible movie made by somebody who doesn't even like Star Wars. Because JJ doesn't like Star Wars. He doesn't like Star Trek. He doesn't know anything about them. And it's just, it's so apparent that it's just like, oh, this is just the big franchise. Let me put my name on the big franchise. And what has JJ Abrams done since then? I can't even tell you. I don't even think he's working right now, is he? He probably is, but I haven't heard about it.
He's got, you know, who has excellent publicists and deal makers. He got like some sweet deal with HBO Max, which like they promised projects. He just got paid and he has to promise to give them projects. And I think the projects fell through, but I still think he got paid the end of the day. I think the last time I heard JJ, this is a few years back when there was like JJ Abrams has a new Spider-Man project. Everyone's so excited. You know, for a few days.
Oh, that's when he put his son in charge of Star Wars. And it's like, oh, really? People have been waiting their entire lives to work on Spider-Man, and now you just gave it to your son? Really?
It was funny. Yeah, it was like that, because like everyone's like, oh, and they read, oh, J.J. Abrams. Because this is how they used to treat J.J. He used to be like, oh, J.J., he saved Star Trek. Now he's going to save Star Wars and everything else.
See, I hated his Star Trek. I hated it so much. I was so mad the entire time I watched it. I'm like, this isn't Star Trek. Like, when he was building the Enterprise on Earth, I'm like, do you know how incredibly stupid that is? Why would you build a galactic starship on Earth? You put all of that together in outer space where there's zero gravity, you dumbass. Like, it's like, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I know that. And I can't stand when I'm smarter than the things that I'm seeing on TV in the theater. Because I'm like, I'm stupid. I can't spell to save my life. I'm not a genius, and I'm fine with that. I know a lot about like three specific things, and that's all I need to be happy in life. I'd rather be ignorant about a lot of things. So when I'm smarter than what I'm seeing, I'm like, this is terrible. This is a train wreck.
I liked the movies at first, but I didn't know. I had a loose understanding of Star Trek because my dad is super into it. And then when I went on later to go watch the show myself and Next Gen and DS9, all the rest, and you come back to it, and they're fine. They're okay as movies, but they're not really Star Trek. They're kind of like generic sci-fi-ish action films. And they're nice for
a
time.
You know what? They had the best cast. I thought that all of the new people, they did a really good job. Like, being brain bodies of the original cast, they did a really good job. I thought that the casting was great, and it sucks that that's what they were given.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get another Star Trek film. I know that's something they've been teasing out.
I don't think Chris Pine wants to do it because he's like, you got to give me this much money or I'm not doing it. And there's no way that they're going to get that much money just for the movie in general, not let alone just for him.
I don't think so. There have been some positive things in the world of Star Trek slowly. So maybe that continues.
Yeah, Terry did a good job with Picard season 3 with what he had to work with.
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought the new Star Trek stuff was done for, but that... It was so nice. It was surprising in a nice way to see that come out like it did. So what do you think, where does all this go? Like, especially like Star Wars YouTube, because even I am drawing blanks. The biggest Star Wars YouTuber, goodness gracious. I know.
Star Wars Theory?
Thank you. Star Wars Theory. Even he's beginning to move away from Star Wars, which I'm like, okay, so then like what do we call you? We just call you Theory? Like, what's the plan here? What do you think happens? Where does this go from here?
So again, I the YouTube thing happened for accident on me. I'll be completely honest. I didn't watch YouTube. Like, if I like didn't know how to do something, like, oh, my car broke, how do I fix it? And it took me to a YouTube video. That's great. But so I don't really watch too. Like, I'll watch my friends when they're live. I did get into art YouTube. And so there's like 3 or 4 art YouTuber, art tubers that I watch consistently, like 1000 or Jess Karp, and, you know, people like that, like Andrew Tischler, like they're really good artists. And so I like watching their content and what they're doing and what they're up to. But like, and this is going to sound really bad, and I don't mean it in a bad way, but I'm like, why would I watch a Star Wars video just to hear things that I already know? Right? Like, I don't. So I used to watch Star Wars Theory when he did like the fanfic. And so I met him on his movie set when he was making the Darth Vader fan film. And I had watched one, and it was like, what would have happened if Vader raised both Luke and Leia? And there was like a cliffhanger at the end, like, oh, you know, which one of his kids turned on him? Was it Luke or was it Leia? And so since I met him in person, I asked him, and he's like, that was an old video. And I was like, but it was this one, right? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, that was cool. But as far as like now, I'm like, I watched this episode. This episode was dog shit, right? Why do I need to watch another person? Even though I love these people, like a lot of my friends do Star Wars YouTube, but I'm like, I already know, because we're already friends, I already know, like without even talking to them, I know how they're going to react to this, but I don't really need to watch it. And unless like one of them specifically asked me my opinion on their video, I typically don't watch YouTube videos, because I'm like, I got so many other things going on, and like I don't have time really to watch other YouTubers, which if that makes me a bad YouTuber, that makes me a bad YouTuber. But it's not something that I ever really did before I started doing YouTube. So I don't keep up with a lot of it. I didn't know who, like when I first started YouTube, the person that really helped me out was Jeremy from Geeks and Gamers, because somebody left me a comment on one of my videos like, oh, you should talk to this guy. So I did. And he was the one that kind of explained to me the YouTube politics and who certain people were and who had beef with who, and who this person was and who this person was. And I didn't know who any of these people were or any of this. So it was like a crash course in this like whole internet thing that I didn't know existed. And even today, it's unless it's like my friends that like I know that have shows that are live, I typically don't watch YouTube. So I don't keep up with a lot of it. Most of my news about YouTubers comes from watching people interact on Twitter.
That is interesting, though. To be fair, you show up on like big streams, so like FNT. And I swear, some of those streams, they go like 8 hours. Goodness gracious.
I went on FNT on accident like one time, but that was before it like really blew up. But so I don't.
Sorry. Also, like, Flash, like all of them are kind of like circling in my mind is one thing. The Flashcast, whatever Christy Mayer calls her thing, and
Simpcast.
Yeah. Thank you.
I think that's just because I become like, I think part of it does have to do with like my channel size and all of that. But at the end of the day, everyone that I've met, like they all say that I'm exactly the same online as I am in person. And so like I've met Chrissy in person, I've met Flash in person, I've met a lot of the FNT guys in person, pretty much a lot of the Comicsgate guys I've met in person now. And I don't have like a YouTube persona. Who you see on camera is who I am in person. I do hold a little bit back like personal information and stuff like that, but I think that is kind of rare in on the internet world. And so I think maybe people just like that because I'm not out to get anyone. I'm not trying to, you know, just climb the social ladder. I'm just doing my thing. And so when it comes to shows and streams, like, yeah, I'll come hang out and talk with people about Star Wars or Star Trek or like anime. I can't talk to real people in real life because all my friends in real life are normies. I'm the weird one. And so I found this like little cool area where I get to find people that actually I have things in common with, that I can sit down and talk about all of these things for 8 hours. And then I do that like what, once a week? And then I go back to the real world. And then it's like, oh, I just want to talk to someone because nobody knows
about Dragon Ball Z, and nobody cares that the creator just died. And then I go online and I'm like, oh my God, everyone's like, I understand your pain, right? But people in real life, they don't know. They don't care.
It is hard because it's like, you don't, you know, I'm talking with like a friend, or I'm visiting my mom, check on her. And we're like, well, you know, she's like, well, what's going on with you? What are you interested in? And I was like, well, you need to understand there's this one prolific Twitter user, and they made this meme about this other, and then I'm like, this is really hard to describe.
Oh my God, I understand. I know exactly what you're talking about, and there's been times, so I get into a lot of Twitter wars. If you follow me, you know. But so when I was fighting with Lizzo, and I was on my phone, and I'm like, I'm not letting this fat troll take my Twitter. And I'm like responding to everyone, and I'm fighting with all of these, I don't know what Lizzo's fans are called, literally Lizzites, the embodiment of trolls. I don't know. But I was like on British news. It was all over Snapchat for whatever reason. And so I'm just fighting with people. Everyone's like, Anna, get off your phone. I'm like, you don't understand. I'm at war. And that's what got me my blue check mark before Elon made it so you can buy them. Because like my account was getting flagged so much, like hit so much. Like there was just so many people coming at me that they forced me to verify that I was a real person. And I got verified on Star Wars Day. So that was pretty cool. But it just, when I got recognized in person, like I was with like my mom. And somebody was like, are you that Star Wars girl? And like my mom, she was like, oh. And she was in front of all of her friends. And then all of her friends were like, what? And I think that's when they were first like, so whenever now, like my mom sees me on my phone, she's like, are you fighting? What's going on? And I was like, I can't explain to you about this. Yeah, like the meme about this one internet person that you don't know who. And I can't. It'll take 10 hours for me to explain to you the backstory on why this person, their history and their beef, and why this meme is blowing up. But you understand, and probably people watching understand too.
Oh, Twitter is not good for me. It is funny though. It feels so big. It is a big amount of people. It's just not, you know, everyone. It is a weird thing. It is really weird. Internet life is just so, so different, so at odds. I appreciate you taking the time to be here today, Anna. Thank you so much. We'll start winding things down. What is it like to be on those big streams or to try to, you mentioned Jeremy trying to teach you about the ropes, about who has beefs with who. Do you get kind of exhausted by that? Because this is how I keep getting in trouble. My thing is I just kind of want to be nice with everyone and mildly critical if I think something's bad. And that's about it. But it's like, you can't talk to that guy. You can't talk to her. You can't be friends with that one. Oh, you said that one thing about the one person that one time. I'm like, I don't even remember that. It was like from a year ago.
Okay, so to answer, so that was like when I first started YouTube. He explained to me the beef between Star Wars Explained and Star Wars Theory and him. And then who, oh my God, what is his name? Mundane Matt. He explained to me the drama with like Mundane Matt and like who like Medicare was and who all these other people were. And so when it comes to this, like, I remember I had somebody on my channel and then somebody called me up. They're like, how could you have that person on your channel? They did a video about this person a year ago and then they deleted it. Why did you have this person on your channel? Like, how the hell am I supposed to know that one person was critical of another person and posted a video and deleted the video? And I just met this person yesterday and I thought they were cool and I wanted to talk about their project, but I'm the bad guy because I didn't know they made a video on this person a year ago that's been deleted, so there's no way for me to have seen it. Like, this is, at that point, I was like, this is the stupidest thing I have ever heard. I'm at that point now where I'm like, I don't care. I judge everyone on how they treat me. Not, I don't, maybe, and I'm just like, you know what? Maybe you fucking deserved it. Maybe you were an asshole. Maybe that person made a video on you because you were stupid. Maybe you were lying. Maybe you were an asshole. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they just were laughing. Maybe it was a troll. I don't know. You troll on your friends, right? So now I take everything with, if you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you until you change that, right? So until I find out that you're talking shit about me or maybe you're saying it to my face, I treat everyone based on how they treat me first. And so that's how I go about it. And I do kind of pay attention to like certain beefs. And like, so I'm like, okay, so this is like you're, you know, like a grifter. So if like there's somebody that literally just uses other people to climb the social ladder, I usually stay away from those people and distance myself, but I'm never rude to them. And again, unless they're rude to me first, then I'm like, all right, I don't have to be nice to you anymore. So that's kind of how I've learned to handle it over the years. It was very different in the beginning where I was just like, oh, everyone must be cool. And I was very naive. And then I got burned a couple of times, and now I'm like,
yeah, I made that mistake too.
Yeah. So now as far as like navigating things, like I said, I'm like, I try to make myself aware of certain situations, but at the same time, I'm like, every single person is the bad guy in somebody else's story. It just depends on who's telling the story, on if you're a bad guy or a good guy. And so I try to base my opinions on someone on how they personally treat me and how they interact with me. And I do take into consideration other things, but I mean, you could go look up my name, and you'll see like 100 hate videos on me about how I'm the embodiment of evil. And I'm like, my mom doesn't even pay attention to me as much as some of my haters do. So it depends on who's saying the things about the other person. And if you're talking about another person, that kind of does say a lot about you, unless you have like a good reason, like this person stabbed me in the back, I'm just warning you kind of thing. And I mean, right now I have two really good friends that are at war with each other, and I'm just like, I'm not taking a side. My parents were divorced. I know exactly what it's like to, you know, care for two people. Yep. And those two people completely disagree, and those people, you know, are fighting, and I know how to stay neutral, because I'm like, I come from divorced parents. And my parents never, you know, made me or my siblings pick sides. It was just one of them feels this way, the other one feels this way. They're never going to see eye to eye on this because they so fundamentally disagree. And there's nothing you can do about it. And it's like, I have a relationship with this person, just like I have a relationship with this person. And just because of that, me being friends with both of them shouldn't affect either war. And I think a mature adult can understand that. So that's just how I try to navigate the waters, I guess.
No, that seems like wise counsel. One of the things I know, and I so obviously I don't talk about like gender, racial, anything all that often here, but one of the things I do notice that YouTubers like yourself, another person like Shuanhet, though you two are very different creatives, people, politics, etc., it feels like if you were a lady trying to be in this kind of YouTuber, nerd, influencer space, you know, have you heard of the term the pick me girl? It's popular.
Yes,
on
I get
TikTok.
Called it a lot.
Yeah, I'm like that.
And I always respond with, I'm married. Well, now I'm married, but I'm like, so I've always been very upfront. Like, so I was dating my now husband like a year before I even got on the internet, and I never hid the fact. Like, when I made my first video, we were living together, and I never hid the fact that I was in a relationship, and I've been in a relationship since before I got on YouTube. And so I've never tried to, like, yeah, you know, some girls, like, they have boyfriends and they lie. They're like, oh, no, I'm single. You know, it's a lot of the girls that are on Twitch that do it, which I'm not hating. Do what you got to do to make your money, girl. Pay your bills. It's literally none of my business. But I've never been that way. I just say my opinions, and then people that don't like me that can't argue with what I'm saying, they just immediately say the insult. And so, like, the whole pick me thing, I'm like, why would I need to be picked? I already got someone. Like, I'm literally married now. Like, I did all of that. I've been with someone for pretty much all of my adulthood. Like, it just, whenever I see that, I immediately, like, you have no argument. Like, the second you have to start insulting me because you can't argue my point, then that's it. I won. I already won. So I just laugh at people that call me that now. But I do hear it all the time. And then people write me off because, you know, oh, it's just a dumb girl on the internet. And I'm just like, well, have a conversation with me and let's see how it goes. Like, do you want to talk about Star Wars? Do you want to debate about Star Wars? Do you want to talk about Star Trek? I'll do that. But if it comes up like a different topic that I have no interest in, then yeah, I'm like, I got nothing to say about this thing.
Yeah. And it sets up a dynamic where there's no way you can be right, because it says that whatever you're doing, that you're insincere. And I think you have a long enough track record, you've done enough things, it shows that you feel pretty strongly about Star Wars at these topics. Like, I think we can pretty safely say that. But you're right, it's just people looking for a way to blow you off and say, well, this person isn't really a geek, they aren't really a nerd. I remember this being an attitude, especially, and I probably fell into it a little bit, you know, with like cosplayers in the late 2000s, early 2010s. Mm. They don't actually care about these properties. They just want to dress up as Scarlet Witch or whatever it was, Chun-Li. And I don't know if people have more matured or nerd culture has come farther. Not that it was really wrong, but I think that attitude has changed quite a bit. But it still comes up every now and then. Every now and then. Like it.
You know, so what I say when it comes to cosplay, I feel like people, like, you should be honored if, like, somebody took the time out of their life to go and, like, make or buy a costume to dress up like your character because it looks cool. And so the way that I see it, so my birthday is Halloween. So I'm a Halloween baby. Whenever I got a birthday, and Halloween's my mom's favorite holiday too. So my mom would always do a Halloween party, whether it was for me or for her is up to your own interpretation. But so on my birthday, I'd always dress up in costumes. And I liked playing dress up when I was a little girl. So when it comes to like cosplay, I feel like personally, it's more of like, if you're the kind that like makes everything by hand, like from scratch, or if you buy it, there's more of a stigma there. Like the people that make it look down on the people that buy it and vice versa. I'm just like, you know what? As long as you're having fun and you like feel comfortable and you like feel empowered by dressing up by that character, all for you. Good for you. Like that's awesome. But when it comes down to like, oh, if you care about the character or not, I was like, well, whoever did it cared enough to spend money on it, right? So they care. Maybe they don't know enough about it, and maybe that's just because they haven't had access or time. Like when I was growing up, I didn't have access to comic books that I wanted to read. Like I had to, you know, just get what I could get because my mom didn't want to buy them for me. And when you're a kid and you can't make money because they got child labor laws and you can't, you know, have a paper route to make money to buy comic books or to buy toys, you just can take what you can get, right? So I didn't have access to certain things until later in life. And I'm not going to judge another person because maybe they don't know every single thing about a certain character. You know, maybe, and you know, at the end of the day, maybe they just liked it. Like, I don't know everything about fashion, but if I see a pair of shoes I really like, I'm going to buy them. I don't have to know the history of, I don't know, Louis Vuitton, right? To know that I like that purse. And so I feel like that just people that, and I think I only feel this way now because I'm older and I've lived through a lot of things, but I try really hard not to judge other people. And I really believe that quote where it's like, don't judge another man until you've walked a day in their shoes. And I really try to live by that. And like I said, as long as you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you and I won't judge you until you change that. And so I've had people that talk shit about me because when I did my cosplay, I didn't mean to get into it as like a cosplayer. I'm a Halloween baby. I like dressing up in costumes on my birthday. And I was like, I'm going to be Rogue this year for Halloween for my birthday. And I got my hair actually dyed, like with the streak. I went and got all this bleach and got the Rogue streaks. And then people in the chat were like, oh, you should do a cosplay calendar. And I was like, oh, really? I was like, it's October. I got only a couple months left of the year. And they were like, no, do it. And then it happened on accident. But then, because I had to do all that so fast, I had to go out and buy everything. And people just ripped me a new one. Because they're like, you're cheap. You're buying. I was like, I had to do 12 cosplays. Each of them, I think I spent a minimum of like $200 on. And that's me being like very light on it. Because it's expensive. It's like, you got to get the costume. You got to get the shoes. You got to get the accessories. You got to pay a photographer. And the photographer fee was like, you know, whole lot, but like just each costume, $200 times 12, and then plus the fees to get everything shot and edited and all that, and then put everything together. So people were, you know, saying that, oh, well, it's cheap because she bought the costumes. And I'm like, bruh, like let's see you do it. You want to judge me because I didn't sit there like hand sewing everything? It's like, well, I do a lot of it now. I do a lot more now, but I'm like, I was on a time crunch. I had never done it before. I did all of that in like a matter of months for the very first time. It's like, let's see you do better, right? And everyone that judged me for that, I'm like, that says more about you than it does about me. So I can sleep at night. How about you?
Some people just want to hate. I really think that's
true.
They do.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we will end this here on a positive note. We could obviously go on forever about all the terrible nerd projects on the way. I'm having lukewarm feelings about the new Fallout show. But let's end on a positive note. So what are the things that you're excited for? What are you looking forward to?
I'm going to go see Dune 2 tonight.
Nice.
Tomorrow night, excuse me. I'm on the fence about it because the first one, I liked it, but I was more left with a meh about it. But I've heard a lot of good things from people. And especially as they're like, it's more enjoyable if you know Dune. And I've read all of them. After the first one, I'm kind of like, this gets a little weird. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of Dune Messiah. And then as you get further along in the series, you'll know what I mean by it. It gets kind of weird.
But true.
But the first one, I really enjoyed because I'm an optimist. I like the hero's journey. And if, you know, you're a Dune Messiah, it goes very differently after the first book. So I'm optimistic about this. I've heard, you know, people that I trust their opinions on it say positive things. And, you know, if you know, you know. So I'm looking forward to watching that. But as far as something that's not made yet, I guess the thing that I'm the most optimistic for would be Henry Cavill's Warhammer 40K series,
yeah,
because Henry loves Warhammer. So that's something that I am like, okay, if there's something I can be hopeful about, it's that.
That would be good. I hope it's good. I feel similar.
I hope it's good too. I really do. He loves it so much. So I'm just, and since he's got like more of a hand in control of like the story, I think we can see something that like that I'm like, okay, somebody that actually cares, that actually knows about this one is making it. Okay. I'm going to trust until he breaks that trust. I'm going to trust him. So that's, I guess, the biggest thing I'm optimistic about.
Nice. Well, we will end it here, guys. Where can people find you if they want to follow you on social media, et cetera?
You can look up That Star Wars Girl on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram. I also have like the art side of things. And so I have an art YouTube channel. It's called TSWG Studios. Also, so TSWG stands for That Star Wars Girl. So if you can't find me from That Star Wars Girl, type in TSWG and you'll find me. And I also have on Instagram, I have my regular Star Wars Girl Instagram, which is Hardcore Shadow Band, so you probably won't find me. I have the art Instagram, which is the art of Anna, TSWG. And then I have a cosplay Instagram that I just created, so that way people can find me, because that one's not Shadow Band. The other two are. And so that one's still new, but it's just, I think it's Anna, or TSWG Cosplay is there. And then I'm also on Facebook, which I just use to upload videos. So if you don't get notifications, all of my notifications go there. But I'm on Flashcast every Saturday night. I have Jack Show every Thursday night. And that rotates between me and my other friends, John and Cecil. So it's John Malin's channel and then my channel and Cecil Says his channel. It's a rotating show we do every Thursday night. And then I make sometimes appearances on Simpcast on Sundays at 6 p.m. on Chrissy Mayer's channel. Those are all my scheduled shows. I'm going to be doing a new show on Wednesdays. On Graham Nolan's channel. Graham Nolan is the co-creator of Bane from Batman. It's going to be me.
That is exciting.
Me, him, and then a few other, you know, notorious comic book artists like Aaron Lopresti. And then I don't know if you are a fan of Keanu Reeves, but the artist that draws his Berserk comic, it's going to be all four of us going through the entire original series of Star Trek episode by episode. And so that's going to be on Graham Nolan's channel at... on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern time.
That is a lot of shows.
Keep a lookout for that.
That is a lot of shows.
It is a lot of shows. And you know what? They're not on my channel. I do the Jack Show, I think, like maybe once or twice a month. I hate live streams. So I will make guest appearances. I'm like, yes, I can escape reality and go hang out with my friends. You know.
All right.
But yeah, so those are all the places you can find me. Thank you so much, Chris.
Well, thank you so much, everyone, for taking the time to watch this. Thanks to Bane Books Publishing, an imprint of Simon Schuster, and, of course, Young Voices, a journalism advocacy organization, for helping put this show together. And, of course, my incredible editor, Chris Hollywicki, who makes me look way more competent than I actually am. Until next time, my friends, you never know who will show up next on Culturescape. Keep geeking out.